Hi, I'm Peter Howarth.
Hi, I'm Mick Wilson.
And this is Pete Lincoln, and together we are...
Frontmen! And you are listening to Blog of Rock.
Hallo, willkommen bei The Block of Rock, deinem Hardrock und Heavy Metal Podcast Musikmagazin. Ich bin Uwe Lerch und ich nehme dich Backstage mit zu den Rockstars. Natürlich quatschen wir über die Musik, die uns alle verbindet, über neue Platten, über Livepläne und was früher so war. Aber wir sprechen auch über die Menschen dahinter. Was hat sie inspiriert und motiviert und welche Rockstar-Tipps haben sie für dich da draußen? In den Shownotes, das ist die Beschreibung zu dieser Episode, über die du das hier gerade hörst, findest du einen zentralen Link für alle weiteren Informationen, der dich aber auch in meine offizielle Facebook-Gruppe führt. Ich würde mich freuen, wenn wir uns hier kennenlernen. Bist du nun am Start? Na dann komm doch mit. Hallo Leute, ich hoffe, ihr hattet eine produktive Woche und könnt jetzt ganz entspannt mit mir die nächste halbe Stunde verbringen. Okay, so ganz alleine sind wir ja dann doch nicht, denn ich habe noch drei Herren mit in die Runde eingeladen, die den gemeinsamen Nenner haben, dass sie alle drei Frontmänner in sehr bekannten britischen Bands mit ebenso erfolgreicher Vergangenheit waren. Vor gut 5 Jahren taten sich unter dem Namen Frontman das erste Mal zusammen und erobern langsam aber sicher ein sehr dankbares Publikum. Die Erfolgsformel ist, 3 extrem harmonische Stimmen, 3 perfekt abgestimmte akustische Gitarren, legendäre Hits der 60er, 70er und 80er, die jeder kennt und das Ganze auf eine eigene Art und Weise überraschend interpretiert. Dazu gibt es zwischen den Songs immer wieder kleine Storys und Anekdoten, die diese Konzerte zu unterhaltsamen Doppelstunden im Fach Rockgeschichte machen. Wer nun hier etwas Nachhilfe nötig hat, der sollte sich unbedingt ihre neue Doppel-DVD Up Close Live 2020 anhören, beziehungsweise auf DVD oder Blu-ray ansehen. Mit dabei sind einige Gaststars, unter anderem auch Eric Martin von Mr. Big. Ich traf die drei Frontmänner in meinem Kölner Lieblingsladen, dem Rockpit, einem sehr geilen American Barbecue Restaurant am Hohen Staufenring. Während wir auf unsere leckeren Burger warteten, stellten sich drei Herren aber erstmal selbst vor.
My name is Mick Wilson and for 20 years I was the lead singer of 10cc.
This is Pete Lincoln. I've been the frontman for 2 crazy English groups, Sailor in the first place from 96 to 2006 or 5, and then with the Sweet since then.
And I'm Peter Howarth of the Hollies, but we're the frontman.
So lots of rock history on one table. I had the chance to see you on stage a year ago, close to Frankfurt at a smaller venue, seated venue. It was a nice show. It was all acoustic. You three, with your voice and guitar, reminded me a bit of the Eagles in a kind of British-European way. And I was really surprised to hear all these great songs from the rock history in one go, in two sets. You played that with a short break in between. But what I like most is that you're not only playing songs, but also telling about the songs. So it was kind of a history lesson.
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you very much for comparing us to the Eagles. I think this is our favorite interview so far.
Yes.
Yes, just for those people that have never seen us, we come from those three bands. So the idea was we would meet when we were all still playing in those bands. We would all meet on festivals and talk about maybe getting together to do something. And so we decided that if we did do it, it would be acoustic only, so that it was different from the rock bands that we played in. So that has a little frontman twist. And I think it's just nice that we kind of bring all of those songs together. But what, as you say, what the audience actually gets as well at a frontman concert is our vibe. Is the, you know, we're friends for over 25 years, maybe 28 years now, when we first started working with the English singer Cliff Richard. That's how we met to start with. The talk between us has grown over the years because we're now more comfortable on the stage and we know that the audience like that kind of thing. So we kind of let people in. It's like a party, an intimate party, like in your front room or somewhere, you know. Do you want to add to that?
I think you said it, Mick. That was very, very, very good. I was just listening. I was just drifting away with the sound of the traffic noise and mixed dust at times there. No, absolutely. It's it has grown. It has grown. And also, we can run away with... We have to be careful that we don't talk too much because otherwise we spend too much time talking and not enough time playing, which can easily happen, and it does happen. But that's part of it for us. It's not just a case of going on stage and rattling out some songs. There has to be more. You have to connect with your audience. I think we're all very aware of that, being front men, because it's your job to go out on that stage. Number one, make everybody feel comfortable, that you're confident enough, that they're in good hands, but also be open to let them in, to grab their attention and make them feel comfortable and invite them into our party. Well, we do that in a sort of three-pronged attack. It's not just one of us. We've got three of us doing it. So it's for us, it's a lovely experience too.
What I enjoyed at the show was that it's three decades of rock and pop, because, you know, it's a Holly starting in the early 60s. It's the Sweet starting early 70s until the 90s. And it's 10cc, a band which also had hits in the 80s as well. As well, you're playing tracks from other artists, which you are conjunct with, like Sir Cliff Richard and so on. So it's a 60s, 70s, 80s party with history lesson.
Yeah, with a history lesson, yeah.
And the Eagles.
And and some humour, I think, is important, an important part of what we do. We don't specifically go out to make people laugh and be funny, but because we have a good shared sense of humour between us, things happen on stage, somebody will say something one night, and the next night we'll repeat it, we'll keep it in because it was funny, and it'll grow. And like Peter said, the danger is that these little funny moments grow and grow and grow into a sketch which can last 10 minutes if you're not careful, you know. So
it has done
in the past, yeah. So, but that's it. That I think we've pretty much said it. Yeah, that's what we do.
It doesn't feel it's scripted when I saw you on stage.
No, it's not scripted. But like I said, sometimes something happens and we keep it in. We, you know, if you understand what I'm saying, we do it again the next night. It might be slightly different, but it's not scripted. We don't have it all written down, but we have.
Bare bones, you know.
Yeah.
Who came up with the idea to do it like this? Because you were friends, you played with Cliff, you played guitar, were singing, so, but somehow there was a certain moment when you decided to form this band.
That came from a period when, personally, I was doing some solo acoustic gigs. I just had the desire to do solo acoustic gigs. And it just so happened, I got invited to play a small festival, and the day after, Mick was doing the similar kind of thing. He was going around doing solo acoustic gigs. And the next day, he was invited to play, and the chap that booked us said, oh, I had your mate here yesterday, Pete. And Mick said, oh, he said, would you be interested in doing something together? And he went, of course, you know, of course. So I think from then, I think it was Mick's idea to phone Pete up. He thought it'd be great if three of us did it, and Pete's... He's well versed in playing acoustic stuff on his own. He's done it for many years. He has a vast repertoire of stuff. You know, he has. It's huge. And we thought about it. Thought, yeah, that'd be a great idea. And the chap who booked us decided, yeah, we'll do that. And he booked a date in for all three of us to do something. But the gig never transpired. It just went away, but we liked the idea, and it was through Pete. I could let Pete take this on from here. There you go, Pete. Yep.
So I was doing quite a lot of solo work in Germany at the time as well with Stefan Muhl, who's our manager now and was tour managing the Sweet. So Stefan and I were good friends, and he started booking me, and I said to him, you know, it's a shame, we've got this great idea and we're not doing anything with it. What do you think? And Stefan thought it was such a good idea that he decided to get in touch with a couple of promoters and see if they were interested. And they, you know, they said, yes, let's try it. So we literally booked two shows, one at the Kufa in Krefeld, and one in next night in the Passionskirche in Berlin. And the shows turned out great, and the rest is history. It grew from that small moment. Just so it was a happy accident, really.
When was it?
The first shows were January 2016.
Yeah. Wow. So you're quite a young band.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
Can't you tell? luckily, you guys out there can't tell that we're such a young band.
Audio only.
Yeah,
very young on blogs.
Thank God it's not a video podcast, eh? Yeah.
Who came up with the idea to call the band Frontman? Actually, you are, but you spell it differently with a three instead of an E.
That was a mad moment I had. When we first were going to get together and do the gig in the UK, which didn't happen, I've still got it on my Dropbox. I designed a little leaflet.
Yeah.
And I said, we could call it Frontman. Yeah. And I turned the E round to be a three. Yeah. And it was just a little joke, a little bit of fun. And I put this thing together with... I found some pictures of Mick and Pete online and put a little design together. And then it stayed. We didn't bother trying to think of something else because it's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how brandings are made.
Yeah.
Of incidents, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. Well, when I go through your set, of course you play... songs from the bands you were already in, but also some other people. On the new DVD, which luckily is coming out these days, you have also some guests on. How did it come together? I saw Eric Martin from Herr Gross.
Herr Gross.
Herr Gross.
Yeah. Which, that's what he says on the DVD. Yeah. This came about was that Pete has always been a massive fan of Eric, and Eric was doing a solo tour in the UK. Actually, you tell him. Well, it's your question.
Well, all right, I'll go. Yeah, okay. Eric and I had met a few years ago while he was doing some shows over here and in the Avantasia project, and also he was on Rock Meets Classic the year before I did it with Andy Scott. And we became friends, and then I joined him for a show in Newcastle in the north of England where he's doing a solo show. And I said to him, okay, I've done one of your gigs, now you have to come and do one of mine, you know, just as a joke. And he said he would love to. So Stefan arranged it, and he flew in, and he did some great shows with us in January. And was it February? February, the February part of the tour, yeah. Earlier this year, before the world went crazy, we managed to do a tour, and Eric was one of the guests on that. He was a lovely guy, great fun to be with. Very positive, very enthusiastic, great energy, and he really enjoyed our humour, you know, and the whole vibe with us. He really didn't want to go after that. Those few shows we did together, it was great. So that was the story with Eric.
So he's opening up on the DVD with one of my favourite acoustic tracks, with Wild World by Cat Stevens. So actually, it's the track which made a bit to medium hit for Mr. Big. But it's great to hear it in this kind of range with four vocals, four guitars. It's really nice to hear it this way.
Yeah, we were talking about Eric earlier that although he comes from a what you would consider a kind of like a heavy rock band, their two biggest hits worldwide were acoustic hits almost, you know. So it was obviously a no-brainer for us to do both of those songs in our set because they fit so great. And that was the beauty about, you know, not only did Eric just slot in as a human being with the kind of journey that he's had, and with his humour and everything, he also slotted in perfectly musically with those tunes. And we did another Mr. Big tune called Long Way Down, which was kind of a rock, but we obviously did it in the same style, and we thought it really worked, you know. And he was happy to do it. And it's nice, you know, although, you know, as within the Frontmen, one of us is always singing a lead vocal, it was quite nice for us to go back to our roots and be a backing vocal section for a great singer like Eric. And, you know, Peter got a chance to play the bass, which he doesn't do very often, and I was on the percussion, which I haven't done since leaving 10cc. So it was kind of a nice little trip for us, you know, and for Peter to be... standing up there, you know, standing next to the singer who, you know, when he went to see him at Hammersmith Odeon with his son for the first ever gig, to be standing on stage next to Eric is a big thrill for all of us, you know. So it was nice. It was, and Eric enjoyed it as well. So it was kind of like a bit of a brotherhood thing. thing. It was good.
And you picked the, let's say, the more easier one songs of Mr. Big, because you didn't need a drill machine to play.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Because usually when, as a Mr. Big show, Paul Gilbert, the guitar player, he's doing really crazy things on stage.
Yeah, drills.
Yeah, we didn't need any power tools for any, no power tools were hurt during the making of the DVD.
How long does it take for you to rearrange one of the tracks? Because some of the tracks, which were also on the new DVD, which you're playing live, are not in the same style as we all know. Like a track like Ballroom Blitz is different. Dreadlock Holiday, one of my all-time favorites, is also in a different way. But it's, of course, still got the same vibe. You can sing along with it. This is the great thing. But how long does it take for you to rearrange one of the tracks?
I think it varies. I think usually we just get together and play and we find out what feels good. Sometimes, like, Pete's come together, has come to us with he's got his own version of, like, Oxygen on the last album that's more or less there as a version, and we just fit in with it. And then things develop a little bit as well. As we're playing them, they'll just become a little bit more acoustic just by their nature. But Dreadlock, I've never felt it was much different from the original in a lot of ways, but it's just the way we kind of play it, the way it sounds, by the nature of just using the instruments, it does take on a different life of its own. But I think it's usually quite quick. I don't think we've really laboured over anything. I think if you're labouring over something, then you're forcing it. It either works or it doesn't. So if you pick up guitars and we all start playing our little bits how we play, and then we put the harmonies where we think they should be, or if they're not there, then we'll throw some in. So where we think they should be, and then it sort of takes on its natural life as a frontman song.
What can you tell people who haven't seen you live, maybe are interested now by this nice talk, but actually they need to see the DVD, not only listen to the CD, which is nice too, but they have to listen to the and watch the DVD. So what can people expect on a frontman show?
Okay, I think we boil it down to the essence of firstly, really, really good songs in an acoustic format, so it's not going to be too heavy on the ears. And mixed together with the blends of voices that we have should hopefully create a pleasurable listening experience for the mature music lover. And I mean mature in the sense of they've listened to a lot of music, not necessarily mature as in over 25.
I think also visually, obviously, you know, it's not going to see a band with all of the fireworks and stuff. It's just three guys up there, hopefully at the top of their game, singing and playing. But what you don't see on the audio CD is us looking at each other and the smiles and the little nods and the winks, and just that you don't see us enjoying it. And like all of those gigs, you know, I go to see some bands sometimes, you know, not naming any names, and especially when I was with the 10cc guys, you would do a festival and then some bands would come out that have had hit after hit, but they come out, they just stand there, they just play the stuff, they nod and they go. Whereas we, you know, what again, to go over what people say about the front men is the fact that they see us looking at each other, and people think that they are looking, I guess, like behind the curtain at a friendship, at a party that they've been invited to. And that's part of it. That is definitely part of the video side of things that you have to see to that. So we don't just stand there. We walk over to each other. We talk to each other sometimes while we're playing. And there's some jokes that we have that the audience can see or cannot see, you know.
It's the old thing. If how can you expect people to have a good time if you're not going on stage and having a good time? Yeah. So if we believe that, I know for a fact that if you're having a good time on stage, then it's going to spill out to other people. But you've got to have that. You've got to go on the stage and really enjoy it. And if you're really enjoying it, it's not going to be a problem.
Boom.
Music can be also kind of cure, especially in these times of crisis. And while listening to the album, you know, it's not only a time travel, like being in a rocket and travel back to the 60s, 70s, 80s, like Back to the Future. It's also kind of cure, because I felt really relaxed hearing it. But I also remember I was standing at your show singing, clapping, dancing, whatever. So it's both. So yes. Especially your kind, the way you interpret the kind of music, it's a kind of, it's a mixture of being both worlds, but I think it's also kind of cure, medicine for people.
Well, that's lovely to hear, yeah. That's a really nice thing to say. Yeah, I think people can draw a lot, as the boys have said, both Peter and Mick have commented already, you know, they can draw a lot from our shows, and hopefully they take away, hopefully they leave feeling really good, like you say, feeling uplifted. And I think, the songs themselves, when they're stripped back to the roots of the song, to the essence of the song, taking away all the production, kind of, it's quite enlightening for people sometimes. They go, oh, wow, so that's how, that's that song, that's the meaning, that's how the, what this song means, or that's what it's, there's something that they can take from the, this new interpretation, like Love Is Like Oxygen, for example. People, I can see people going when the because they don't know what it is, because it starts with a different tempo to the original and a different vibe, and when the first lyric comes, "Love is like oxygen," they go, "Oh, I know this," and it puts the song in a different perspective and it gives them a different feeling, and I think that's what we do with all of the songs, including our own stuff. You know, it gives them just a more insight because it's simple. They can hear it. Or they can get the lyrics, they can hear what's going on, and they don't have to be bombarded with sound and light, you know. It's just a nice experience.
Good thing you talk about your own songs. Your whole show is not only focused on these classics from the past, but you more and more come with your own stuff. So this is a direction the frontman will go also into the future. So it will be always a mix between classics and some originals.
I think so. I think eventually the equation, the balance could change. You know, there could be more frontman songs and a few of the classics hits to remind people of where it's come from. We don't know. I mean, at the moment it's about half. It's, well, we're doing about six of our own tunes in the show at the moment, and we have a new studio album coming out in the early part of next year. So obviously we want to include some of those new songs from that. What do we take out? You know, because sometimes with the three iconic bands, you have to do Fox on Their Own, you have to do I'm Not in Love, as Mick said, you have to do The Air That I Breathe, you know, and certain songs, you're putting the set list together and you're filling gaps with your own songs. But at the moment, however, that might change. And people have been very accepting of the new songs, which is really. It makes us very proud that our songs can stand on the same stage as those classic hits.
You're still a young band, you know. Even big artists like Led Zeppelin or AC/DC started with cover versions and then later on came with their own material. So you've got still time to come up with your own stuff.
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, as long as we're still breathing and playing, yeah, we've got time.
So what's the plan for the near future? I've seen you scheduled new shows as of January.
Yes, hopefully all those, the shows that we've been advertised, January, February, are all still there. They're all still live and people can still buy tickets for them. At the moment, we our management and all the promoters of all the venues are still being very positive. So everything is hopefully going ahead as normal. The closer we get to those, there may be some kind of restrictions. We don't know what that is, whether it's audience size or whatever. It might mean that we might have to do perhaps more shows to less people if they want to come and see this. You know, if it's a theatre that we've sold 500 tickets but the theatre can only have 200 in or 250, then we might have to split those shows up. Ask people to come, yeah, ask people to come in the daytime, half of them or something, or the next night, or I don't know how it will work, but whichever way it works, we are happy to do it. Yeah, because we miss playing for them as much as they've missed us playing, you know. So so that's the idea. And as Pete said, a new studio album, and hopefully the, you know, people will be able to see the DVD as well. So it's all, we're planning with caution, but we are planning as if hopefully next year everything will be back to normal and we can go out and do that.
Thank you very much. All the best to you.
Thank you very much indeed. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Thanks a lot.
Na, habe ich euch zu viel versprochen? Das war doch großartig, oder?
Falls ihr euch das mal in kompletter Form reinziehen wollt, dann findet ihr in den Shownotes zur Sendung, das ist die Beschreibung oder auch Infobox zu dieser Episode, die Links zur CD, DVD und Blu-ray und zu den künftigen Tourterminen. Wenn dir diese Episode gefallen hat, folge mir doch gerne beim Podcast-Dealer deines Vertrauens, damit du auch die nächste Folge nicht verpasst. Du bekommst die ganze Staffel als kostenloses Abo unter anderem bei Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, Deezer, Soundcloud, YouTube, dem Podcast-Portal von Google oder natürlich über meine Homepage theblogofrock.com. Höre dir dort auch die bereits veröffentlichten Stories an, denn jede Woche gibt es hier neues Futter. Und vor allem, erzähle es deinen Freunden und teile die frohe Kunde auf Social Media. Alles klar? Dann hören wir uns ja wieder beim nächsten Mal. Bis dahin, keep on rocking!